gabi mefalti li maginu uvo chasisi horodeid ami sachtoi. My benefactor of loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my rescuer, my shield and in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. King David depicts his trust in Hashem as his shield, and he also employs a number of other figurative expressions. Hashem bestows many acts of loving kindness upon me, and he is my fortress. It is as if he placed me in a high tower where I should be safe from my enemies. He is my high tower, a more fortified site within the fortress. He is my rescuer who saves me, my shield in battle against my enemies, and in him I take refuge. He subdues my people under me. They should not rebel. Some explain the word horodeid as follows. He spreads out and arranges my people to squat in their assigned places. Some say it means that he weakens nations under me. Pasuk 3. Hashem, mo adam batzoeu ben enosh v'chatzveu. Hashem, what is man that you know him, or the son of man that you reckon with him? Having said that Hashem was benefactor, fortress, and high tower, the singer declares that he's not deserving of this loving kindness. Hashem, what is man that you know him? What is his worth that you should take notice of him and act towards him with loving kindness? Or the son of man, what is he that you reckon with him to do so many good things for him? David refers here to himself, marveling at Hashem's concern to provision over him, for he was humble in his own eyes, as he said, "Who am I, Hashem? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far to kingship? And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Hashem, but you have also spoken of your servant's house continuing for a great while to come. And does any man deserve such a course?" Plus, that's found in Shmuel Beis. Accordingly, he says here, "What is man in his youth, or the son of man in his old age, that you reckon with him?" That was always David's way, to be humble. It was thus about him that Shlomo said, "In all the ways know him," a pasuk found in Mishlei. That is to say, a man should set Hashem in his heart in all his ways, as did David. Wherever he went, David would say, "I am not king. Hashem caused me to reign." As it says, "And David came to know that Hashem had established him king over Israel." A pasuk is found in Shmuel Beis. He was a mighty warrior, but said, "I'm not a warrior." He was wealthy, but said, "I'm not wealthy." Thus he proclaimed, "Yours, O Hashem, is the greatness and the might, the glory and the victory and the majesty." A pasuk that's found in Divrei Hayomim. He went down to wage war and was victorious, but said, "I vanquished, but not by my might. He was my help, and he was victorious. He formed me to be able to wage wars." Thus he says, "Hashem who girds me with warring strength." The Torah mentions Ben Enosh, literally, a son of Enosh. This alludes to the generation of Enosh, when mankind began to transgress. Accordingly, the singer says here, "What is a son of Enosh that you reckon with him?" Some say that he was speaking about Shaul, whose reign terminated after a short while. "What is man, the man Shaul, that you reckon him?" Pasuk 4. Adam lahevel damo yamav kitzel over. A man is like a vapor, a breath. His days are as a passing shadow. Having said that man is hardly worth God's attention, David describes man's nothingness. A man is like vapor, the vapor that escapes from a pot. His days are like the shadow of a bird flying by in the air. Said Rab Huna in the name of Elezer, one thing David HaMelech said he did not explain, but his son Shlomo explained it. King David said a man is like a vapor, but he did not say what type of a vapor. If he meant vapor steam from an oven, that has some substance. And if he meant vapor smoke from a stove, that also has substance. His son Shlomo clarified the matter. Vapor of vapors, a passage that's found in Qehelet. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamaliel taught the same thing in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. A man places seven pots, one above the other, and the vapor he indicated is the vapor from the topmost part, which has no substance. A subtle interpretation says, a man, even when he lives long, is like vapor. He's like one who lives only 50 days and dies, passing away like vapor. Thus, the numerical value of the word Dhamma, like an apostate, is 50. Another interpretation says, what man is like a vapor? It means the man whose days are as a passing shadow. He is unconcerned about losing days in empty pursuits. The contrary was true of Avram, of whom the Torah says, and Avram was old, he came into the days, bor bayamim. He came into old age together with all his days. For every day he would extend a rung higher. Pasuk 5. Hashem hat shomecha v'seiret ga behorim v'yasonu. O Hashem, incline your heavens and come down, touch the mountains so they make smoke. Having thanked Hashem for helping him in his past wars, David asked for divine help in future wars. Speaking figuratively, he says, O Hashem, incline your heavens and come down quickly upon my enemies. Touch the mountains so they may smoke. Let him touch his enemies and they will instantly be incinerated. Pasuk 6. Barok, barok, usvitzem, shalach, hitzach, usumim. Flash with lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and panic them. Flash lightning bolts upon them and scatter them. Send out your arrows and panic them. Figuratively, that is what happened in the war when Goliath was killed. As it says, and the men of Israel and of Yehuda arose and shouted and pursued the Philistim until the approaches of Gay and to the gates of Ekron. And the dead of the Philistim fell by the way to Shorayim, and they plundered their camps. All this is found in Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk 7. Shalach yodecho mimorum pitzeni v'hatzileni mimayim rabim miyad v'nei nechor. Stretch forth your hands from on high, rescue me and save me from many waters from the hand of strangers. Speaking figuratively about divine supervision, the singer says, stretch forth your hands from on high, rescue or release me and save me from many waters from the hand of strangers. The latter refers to those of his followers who openly expressed their love for him but hated him, were strangers in their hearts. David is at the loss how to be watchful against such people, and so he asks Hashem to save me from the hand of these strangers. When you save me from the men who are free to do as they wish, it will become evident that divine intervention was involved. As a result, people will realize that punishment too comes by divine provision. The present psalm was composed as follows. David will tell everyone of God's loving kindness in having exalted him in the eyes of the nations. For although Hashem acted to bring him victory in war, he ascribed the victories to David. Thus he says, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war? Hashem made it appear as if I brought about victory in war. I truly have no need of this personal glory, for Hashem is my benefactor of loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my rescuer, in whom I take refuge always. Yet he has caused me to become great in the eyes of the enemy, as if the might and the victory depended on me. All that glory which Hashem has apportioned to me is reward for my having recognized throughout my life the greatness of Hashem and the extent of my own baseness. It was my constant refrain, Hashem, what is man that you know him, or the son of man that you reckon with him? A man is like a vapor, his days are as a passing shadow. Even as your greatness is without limit, so also is man's baseness. Therefore I beseech you to exact vengeance upon the arrogant ones in this world. O Hashem, incline your heavens and come down, touch the mountains. So they smoke, flash with lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and panic them. Stretch forth your hands from on high, rescue me and save me from many waters from the hand of strangers. Pasuk 8. Asher pihem diber shav v'minam yamin shoker, whose mouth speaks futilely and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. David refers to the strangers about him, whose ingratiating talk and works of peace are false. Futility, what is more, their right hand, whereby they swear an oath, is as the right hand of falsehood. They swear falsely. Whose mouth speaks futility by denying divine providence. They say, Hashem has forsaken the earth, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yecheskel, and do everything their hearts desire. Even when they promise to do good, that's an empty promise. Thus it says, they who cling to empty folly forsake their loving kindness, a pasuk found in Sefer Yonah. Some say that David refers to Goliath, who vilified the armies of the living Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Thus he says of him, whose mouth speaks futility, and their right hand, the right hand of Goliath, that the Plishtim relied upon, is a right hand of falsehood. Pasuk 9. Elohim Shir Chadash Vashir Loch Vaneivel Osor Azamro Loch. O Hashem, a new song will I sing to you. Upon a ten-stringed lyre will I play or sing praises to you. The singer promises that after Hashem will have granted his petition, a new song will I sing to you. A new song is sweeter than an old song. Upon a ten-stringed lavel, an instrument that produces 10 tones, will I play to you. When your name will then become widely known, O Hashem, a new song will I sing to you about how your supervision has become recognized among men below. Upon a ten-stringed lavel will I sing praises to you, corresponding to the 10 utterances whereby the world was created. In our pasuk we have the word Beneivel. The new song is spoken of in masculine form, Shir Chadash, whereas all the other songs are referred to in the feminine gender. For while all other redemptions were followed by subjugation, not so the final redemption. Pasuk 10. Hanosein Teshua Lamlochim Hapotze as David Avdo Mecherev Ra, who grants deliverance to kings, who rescues your servant David from the evil sword. This is what I will sing. You are Hashem who grants deliverance to kings, myself as well, who rescues your servant from the evil sword. There is a sword of deliverance that comes to save, but the enemy's sword is the evil sword. This pasuk too alludes to the defeat of Goliath, who was killed by his own sword. Hashem saved David from this sword. Thus the Targum translates, who rescues your servant from the evil sword, the sword of Goliath. It is called an evil sword because it's carried an idolatrous engraving. If they believed in divine providence, they would know that Hashem grants deliverance to kings, and that their own power and wealth accomplish nothing. They would know that he rescues your servant David from the evil sword, and that he taught David's hands the skills of battle solely for his glory, to ascribe the greatness to him. Even as David prayed not to fall into the hands of Saul, so he prayed that Saul not fall into his hands, thus Hashem should grant deliverance to both these kings. Pasuk 11. Pitzeni v'hatzileni miyad b'nei nechor ashepihem diber shav imina mimin sheker. Rescue me and save me from the hand of strangers, whose mouth speaks futility and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Although David already pleaded earlier, rescue me and save me from many waters, from the hand of strangers, he again pleads to be saved from falsehood, for he cannot on his own protect himself from those who pretend to love him. Pasuk 12. Asher baneinu kinti'im ugudolim binureihem binoseinu zovios mechutobos tavnis hechol. For our sons are as plants well grown in their youth, our daughters are as corner pillars crafted to the shape of a palace. Having concluded submitting all his petitions, the singer now describes the well-being and tranquility that will ensue following his victories. Our sons will be raised and educated to possess proper traits and attitudes. They will be as plants well grown in their youth. That is, they will be like fresh plants, full of moisture, that can be bent in any direction. Youngsters can easily absorb moral instruction and develop traits of excellence. When raised in this fashion, they will remain the same way as adults. That will not be so only for our sons, but for our daughters as well. They will be as corner pillars crafted to the shape of a palace. Just as the corners of a palace are made in good taste and with great precision, so will our daughters be formed upright on a foundation of best crafted character traits. They will be firmly planted in their homes, well inside, in keeping with the ideal. The full glory of a king's daughter is written. Our sages have expounded, our sons are as plants well grown. These are the youths of Israel, who never in their lives tasted sin. Our daughters are as corner pillars, crafted to the shape of a palace. These are the daughters of Israel who reserve their copulations for their husbands. The Torah says about these and those, it is as if the temple was built in their day. Our sons are as plants, they possess the added value of their planting. Trees require little tending, but the yield of fruit is correspondingly small. In contrast, there are the well-grown or ample plants such as grains. Growing them involves a great deal of labor, but their yield is correspondingly ample. Similarly, the singer says about the sons and daughters of Israel. If one begins to educate them when they are in their youth, they then possess the excellence due to their planting and are well grown in abundant quantity. Based on the above, we can clarify the following passage in the Gemara. If when traveling one says, "How comely is that tree, how fine is that furrow of tilled land," and this makes him pause in his Torah study, which conveys that for him the Torah lacks the excellence of that tree or furrow, he forfeits his life, for he does not fathom the special quality of the Torah and its attendant benefits. The single also claims the righteousness and chastity of the sons and daughters of Israel. Although they had been well grown, raised in well-being and wealth in their youth, and thus had every freedom to commit sin, nevertheless our sons are as plants, devoid of all knots and distortions. Our daughters are fashioned by modesty, like corner pillars. They modestly stay in the corners of their homes and do not venture outside. For the full glory of a king's daughter is written, "That is so, notwithstanding that they enjoy all the advantages which can lead one to sin. They are beautiful, resembling corner pillars of a palace." The latter alludes to the Beis HaMikdash, which was a majestic edifice, the epitome of architectural beauty. Yet they did not sin, and were repaid measure for measure. Whereas immorality leads to hunger and poverty, our storehouses are full, providing all kinds of produce. Some say that the Torah refers here to the battle with Goliath, after having earlier thanked Hashem for the defeat of Goliath. David describes the excellent consequences for the entire nation, in particular for the sons and daughters, who would now be free in their youth. If they would have been enslaved in their youth, what should have become of them? Pasuk 13. Mezoveinu meleim mefikim mizan elzan soveinenu mealifos mrubavos b'chutzosenu. Our storehouses are full, providing all kinds of produce. Our flocks number thousands, even 10,000s in our open spaces. Having depicted Israel's well-being after the deliverance, particularly the excellence of our daughters and our sons, the singer describes the economic well-being. Our storehouses are full, providing all kinds of produce, grains of every species. Our flocks number thousands. The flocks will multiply so plentifully that eventually there will be even 10,000s in our open spaces. All open spaces will be the full of them. Even though the flocks will be in our open spaces, where the envious eye can see them, they will be in the 10,000s. We find a similar interpretation of the following pasuk. A pasuk is found in Iyov. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his herd is increased in the land. Although his herd was in the land, an open place dominated by the evil eye of envy, it increased. The pasuk may also be explained in accordance with the following episode. Eliezer of Bartul once took all the money that he had gathered as a dowry for his daughter and used it to finance the wedding of a bride and bridegroom who were both orphans. He was left with a single dinar, and with it he purchased wheat that he placed in his storehouse. This wheat increased so greatly that it became impossible to open the door. Similarly, it says here, our storehouses are full in the merit of the charitable people providing all kinds of produce to the needy. Pasuk 14. Alufenu mesubalim in Paris v'en yotzeis v'en tzavacha bircho vosenu. Our oxen are well laden, there is no breach and no going forth and no outcry in our streets. The singer describes the oxen as well laden, capable of bearing a load and yoke. Fed with plentiful grain, they were healthy and strong. The tranquility of life will be such that there is no breach, no casualties due to enemy action, and no going forth into captivity, and no outcry in our streets by bereaved kinfolk. The singer speaks in praise of modesty and chastity. Notwithstanding that our sons are as plants well grown in their youth, our daughters are as corner pillars crafted to the shape of a palace. There is no going forth. They do not go astray. All of them stay true to the Torah and to custom. Consequently, there is no breach into gluttony, and no going forth, no sorties to the outside by any of our daughters, and the abundance is such that there is no outcry in our streets for food. When there is peace, it is not necessary to venture out into the streets to protest. Thus, the Talmud relates that on a certain occasion, after the wicked Roman government had issued a harsh decree against the Jewish people, they came out at night for a protest demonstration and caused the decree to be abolished. The Gemara records a dispute between Rav and Shmuel, and some say it was between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elezer. One says, "Our masters, Alufenu, are well laden with Torah learning and the performance of mitzvahs." The other says, "Our masters in Torah learning and mitzvahs are well laden with suffering." The singer says, "They are our masters in Torah and well laden with mitzvahs. Their suffering did not cause them to lose their minds." In the view that says our masters in Torah and mitzvahs are well laden with suffering, the Torah here says, sometimes it happens that out of great well-being, one can attain to piety. Thus the Sultan said about Iyo, "Does Iyo fear Hashem for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side?" The tzaddik is then tested to see if he will stay righteous even when suffering comes upon him. Hence it says here, "They are our masters in Torah and mitzvahs, even though they are well laden with suffering." It is also indicated that when tzaddikim are well laden, they shield their generation. As a result, there is no breach and no going forth and no outcry in our streets. The present pasuk alludes to Doeg and Achitophel, both of whom were Torah scholars. However, out of wealth and well-being, their Torah learning became something they promoted from the lips outward. Gehazi was laden with suffering and did not want to repent. Hence we pray that our party, our people, should not be like them. There is no breach. Our party will not be like Shaul's party, which gave rise to Doeg the Edomite, as found in Shmuel Aleph. And no going forth. Our party will not be like David's party, which gave rise to Achitophel, again found in Shmuel Beis. And no outcry in our streets. Our party will not be like Elisha's party, which gave rise to the sinful Gehazi. In our streets there should not be among us a son or a disciple who commits transgression publicly. There is no breach and no going forth. The soul does not depart before its time. Hence there is no outcry and lament in our streets. In the Yerushalmi Talmud, there is a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the interpretation of the present pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not written here, sovlim are patient with tolerate, but misuvolim are tolerated. When the small are patient with the great, there is no breach, ein pirzo. No plague breaks out. Thus we find, and the plague broke out among them. What is more, there is no going forth. There is no spread of any plague, and no outcry in our streets, due to any plague. Reish Lakish says, there is no breach of exile, and no going forth into exile, and no outcry in our streets of exile. Another interpretation says, our masters in Torah and mitzvahs are well laden in suffering. This refers to those who bear their insults without responding. The sacred books write that the man of humility merits that his sons do not die during his lifetime. What is more, the Torah is a shield against calamities. Thus it says here, because our masters in Torah and mitzvahs are well laden with suffering, there is no breach and no going forth and no outcry in our streets. In all the years that Rabbi Elezer ben Shimon suffered affliction, no man died before his time. And throughout the years of Rebbe's suffering, the world had no need of prayers for rain. Thus it says here, when our masters are well laden with suffering, then there is no breach whatsoever, no man dies before his time. There is then no going forth and no outcry in our streets. There is no cessation of rain, and hence it is neither necessary to bring the Orem, the Ark of the Law, into the streets of the city to offer prayers, nor to decree a fasting. Pasuk 15. Ashrei ha'om shekochalo, ashrei ha'om shehashem elokov. Happy is the people who have it so. Happy is the people whose God is God. David concludes the psalm by proclaiming, happy is the people who have it so. When people behold our success, they will say, happy is the people who have it so. Happy is the people whose success came from Hashem, who is Hashem. What is the great happiness of a people? That is, it dwells on its land and has no master over it except Hashem. As the Torah says, for what nation is there so great that it has Hashem so near them, as Hashem our God is in all things that we call upon Him? After having spoken the material well-being of sons and daughters and possessions, the singer says, do not imagine that here lies the principal happiness.
Not so. Happy is the people who have it so. Happy is the people whose God is God. For no worldly good is an enduring happiness. Only is the spiritual good last. Happy is the man who has it so, who has all those good things. Happy is then the people who have it so, that there are such righteous individuals among them capable of shielding their generation. Happy is the people who have it so, according to the Talmud, children, life, and the livelihood do not depend on one's merit. They depend on predestination. Having spoken of sons who are like plants, well grown, and who can thus produce offspring in turn, and of daughters who are as corner pillars crafted to the shape of a palace, having said that the storehouses are full with an abundance of many kinds of grain, and of flocks in the thousands, and well-fed, well-laden oxen, having also said that there is no breach, and no going forth, and no outcry in our streets, among the sons and daughters, the singer concludes, happy is the people who have it so. Such a state of affairs is not to be found even among the righteous, for this does not depend on merit, but on predestination. Happy, therefore, is the people who have it so. Praiseworthy is the people who have it so, for despite all this plenty, they do not stray from their faithfulness to Hashem. Happy is the people who Hashem is Hashem. The pasuk, happy is the people who have it so, is customarily recited by the chazan, the cantor, when the Torah scroll is being placed in the Oren, for the pasuk has been expounded in connection with Matan Torah at Sinai. We will continue, Mitzvah Shem, in our next shir.